Book of Romans, and we are going to be in Romans chapter 13. Romans chapter 13. How many of you read the news every day or two? And how many of you read the news on the phone, maybe on your cell phone? I use my cell phone for news a whole lot. Sometimes used to be a day when they had newspapers. They still got those? I was a paper boy when I was in junior high school. I had to ride my bike and deliver newspapers. That was a big deal back then, but that was before the internet came along. I read an article today, a sad article, two actually. A lady in Utah was with a friend of hers, and they were mountain climbing in the mountains, in the winter, in Utah. Okay, folks, come on. And a large piece of ice, I'm talking about a piece of ice the size of our piano, began to fall. And this lady, who, if I recall correctly, was in her 40s, pushed a lady with her who was in her 20s out of the way, knowing that this ice is coming. She saw the ice. Instead of running, she pushed this other girl out of the way. The ice fell on her and killed her. The other girl was saved. Another article regarding a shooting and a fellow that had moved in such a way that he prevented someone from being shot, but then because of that, he was shot. Why would someone do something like that? Why would someone save the other person before they would save themselves? Amen. It's got to have something to do with love, doesn't it? Let's just use the word care for a minute. The Bible says, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Bible says, greater love hath no man than this, than a man lay down his life for his friends. There is probably, everybody here could probably think of some people you'd be willing to die for. We would die for our children, wouldn't we? We would probably, I hope we would, die for our parents. We would die for our spouse. We would at least endanger ourselves to protect them, would we not? Now, you really honestly think about it. The Bible tells us we should love our neighbor. And so you can't just limit those that you love to the people that you're close to, like your family or your wife or your husband or your children. You got to remember, the Bible says we're to love one another, and the Bible says to love our neighbor as ourself. And you remember the fellow was trying to challenge Jesus, and he said, well, who is my neighbor? And Jesus told the story of the Good Samaritan, and how the Good Samaritan came across the fellow that had been robbed and was beaten and left for dead, and he didn't even know who he was. But the Samaritan, a priest came, he passed by. Somebody else came and they passed by. Samaritan took the fellow and he... Did you go on that road from Jericho to Jerusalem? And did they show you where that was? Yeah, there's a place there. It's not the same building, but there's a place in this road that goes from Jericho to Jerusalem. And they said, this is about the place where that would have happened. I think it was a parable though, so anyway. But neither here nor there. The point is, your neighbor's not just somebody who's related to you. We're neighbors. Amen? Now, especially, we're related because we're saved. So we ought to have a care, an affection, a love for one another that is particularly strong. Amen? Now, with that in mind, I've been looking at some things in Romans 13, and we're going to be about 15 or 20 minutes, so just look at some verses here. I need to remind you of some stuff before I go much further, but you're in Romans 13, so here we go. Let me read you the verses that we're looking at tonight, and then I'll explain this to you. He says in verse 8, we talked about this last week, owe no man anything but to love one another. For he that loveth another hath fulfilled the law. And then verse 9 explains why that is the case. And then he says in verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. So I talked about the guides that we see and why we do what we do. There are things that guide us. Why did you do what you did today? If you're a parent, if you're a parent, you have children, and you have a wife or a husband, and you want to make sure that there's a house, and you want to make sure that there's electricity, and you want to make sure there's food and clothes. And so Brother Sanchez goes to work, and we work to provide for our family, amen, because we love them. That's one of the things we do, and one of the reasons we do it. If you went soul winning this week, you care about the lost, you went out and you told the lost about the Lord. That's love does that. Love guides us, doesn't it? So I want to talk about that guide of love tonight just for a few minutes, how it guides us. And it's really, anytime you think about love, you just start to think of all these Bible verses. They flood into your mind because the Bible talks so much about love. So let's just hit a few high spots here. First of all, and you haven't got to turn to these verses. Let me read you a few things. 1 John 4:7, and 1 John 4 is a great chapter to read later on about this. The Bible says love is of God. In fact, the Bible says God is love. The Bible says the fruit of the Spirit is love. The very first thing he mentions, the fruit of the Spirit is love. Now, if love is of God, and if God is love, and if the fruit of the Spirit is love, when you and I got saved, the Spirit indwells us. Amen? So we ought to love. Amen? Now, I won't get too deep into this, but I will just mention a few things he says here in 1 John. He says those in 1 John 4:8, he says, those who do not love do not know God. I know some people that claim to know God. I know some people that claim a lot of things, but you know what proves a claim is when there's a reality to back it up. You know, I could tell you that I can fly an airplane. I actually took flying lessons one time, but you would be a fool to get in an airplane with me because I haven't been in one for 40 years, and I wouldn't do very well. You could tell me that you know something or that you know somebody. If you know God, the Bible says you're going to love people. And it's very clear. It's something that's going to guide you. It's going to make you different. Now, let's keep going here. John 15 says love is measured by sacrifice, and we know that is the great love that Christ gave himself for us. So love in us, it does certain things, and it refuses to do certain things. Because we love, we do certain things towards those we love, and we won't do certain things to those that we love. And that's where verse 9 comes in. He says that you won't do certain things because love guides you, or love points you in a certain direction. Let's look at that just a little bit and get some idea of what he's saying here. Now, I'm going to ask you a question. I know the answer, but you're going to say it anyway. Do you love God? Amen? How many times do you think the Bible says, if you love God, keep his commandments? Anybody want to guess? Just throw out a rough number. Oh, that's way low. Let me read you some references here. You don't need to turn to these. If you want this list, I'll give it to you later. Exodus 20, verse 6, Deuteronomy 5, verse 10, Deuteronomy 7, verse 9, Deuteronomy 11, verse 1, Deuteronomy 19, verse 9, Daniel 9, 4, John 14, 15, John 14, 23, John 15, 10, 1 John 5, 3, and I got tired of writing down references and stopped. At least a dozen times the Bible says, if you love God, you'll keep his commandments. Amen? We do sin, don't we? You know what happens? We have flesh. Paul said, in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. But when we sin against God, doesn't it grieve us? Amen? That's the difference in you and a lost person. You love God, and when you sin against him, you know it displeases him, and it grieves you, and you want to be right with him because you love him. Amen? So over and over it says to keep his commandments, but he also says some things that are interesting. He says in verse 20 of 1 John 4, if a man say, I love God and hateth his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God who he hath not seen? And then 1 John 5:2 says this, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. And so here's a thought. If you want to love other folks, Start out by loving God. Or you can turn that around, come the other direction. If you want to love God, make sure you love other folks. Now, there are some people that are easier to love than others. Wouldn't you agree? But truthfully, the matter is, isn't love a choice? Amen? And so we have that choice. We're commanded to love God. We're commanded to love one another. And God doesn't ask us to do the impossible, so we can decide to do that. It makes all the difference, because when you love somebody, you will do certain things towards them and you will not do certain things towards them. And another measure of love is how you treat people. Greater love hath no man than this, that a man laid down his life for his friends. Christ said he loved us more, he died for us. Now what we should do is we should give our life to him because we love him. And it can be done, amen? Just a few more thoughts. We're not going to be long here. Love is a guide. He says in verse 9, this is what love will do, okay? He says, thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. And he says, if there be any other commandment that is briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself, Jesus said to the disciples that in this, all the law and the prophets were in those two commandments, that we love God. So Matthew 23:36-40, he said that the first and greatest commandment is to love our neighbor and to love God. And if you love somebody, then you will do right by them, won't you? So love is a guide. It's a good guide. It will, if you love your spouse, it will keep you from adultery. If you love a person, it will keep you from killing. It will keep you from stealing. It will keep you from lying. It will keep you from coveting, which is an offensive behavior towards another person in a certain regard. If you love folks, it will make your life different. It's all encompassed there in verse 9. He summarizes it in verse 10. He says, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Love is the fulfilling of the law. I'm going to just briefly be done. This won't take long. For the last 25 years, at least, I have been, every day I make notes about what's been going on for the past day or so, and I keep track of if I go on a trip or situations I'm dealing with, and I've been doing this since we were in Salt Lake City back in the 1990s. And we were in Salt Lake City from 86 until 91, from 93 to 2002, and so about the last 7 or 8 years I was there, I kept notes, and then every now and then I'll go look at those notes to see what was going on 25 years ago, just, you know, a few minutes, just kind of looking at it. And I was looking at that a couple of days ago, and I got to admit, I got myself a little discouraged. I was looking at what I was dealing with back then, looking at situations that were troubling me, troubling my family, keeping us, or hindering our service for the Lord is the right way to say it. And I'm going to be very bluntly honest with you folks. In my ministry, the biggest obstacles, the biggest challenges, the greatest trouble that I have faced has been at the hands of other Christians. It's sad. And heaven forbid we should ever be that. Amen? I was reading some notes about a deacon's meeting that we had back in Salt Lake City back in the 1990s. And I remember I was opposed to an idea that the pastor had. And I have apologized to him for this since then. But I'm afraid, in my zeal to be right, I probably gave him some grief. And it wasn't my job to give him grief. It was my job to help him, my job to support him. I was one of his staff members. I've been on the other side of that coin many times to where people gave me grief. And I thought, isn't it sad that we couldn't have understood the simplest, most important, most comprehensive commandment that God gave us, and it is to love one another. Don't hurt people. Amen? You cannot say you love somebody and hurt them outside of chastening. I understand that this nonsense that you cannot punish a child is going to cause a great deal of trouble. Children have to see consequences for actions. You have to discipline them in love. Okay, set that aside. When we deal with each other, we shouldn't hurt each other. Let me read the verse. It's right here. This is just plain old God's word. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Now here, watch this. This is good. It doesn't take us any time at all to remember when someone worked ill toward us, does it? You might even, sadly, don't do this. You might think of several names. I can, unfortunately. And the other day I was thinking about that, because here's what God says to us. Are we commanded to forgive? What if you look at it this way? This is a little strange, but stay with me. When someone doesn't treat you right, that's an opportunity to forgive. It's an opportunity to forgive. And the Bible says God will bless you when you forgive. In fact, the Bible says that when you bless your enemy, you heap fires of coal on their head. And the Bible talks about how God will bless you when you do that sort of thing. And I thought, you know, I wish I'd have seen that sooner, because throughout the years, there have been some Christians that hurt me on purpose. But I got to forgive them. Amen? And then I just turned that around and I asked myself the question, am I hurting anybody else? Whether it's on purpose or not, I shouldn't do that, should I? Be careful. It's easy to hurt somebody by accident. I'm sorry, I use so many cat illustrations, but they just come to me in by the dozens. And I'm walking down the hall, and I had this one cat that's about half crazy. And all of a sudden, this cat decides to head the other direction down the hall. And it's all I can do to make a straight line. In the morning when I get up, I'm kind of stiff. And the cat's coming this way, and I'm going that way, and I hit the cat. And you're, oh, I didn't mean to do that. I felt bad. I went and found the cat and rubbed the cat's head, you know. And I don't like to hurt people, do you? You don't, do you? I know some people that do. Pray for them. That's not good. You are going to be rewarded one day for the times when you let somebody hurt you and you forgave them and prayed for them. You'll be rewarded someday for the times when somebody hurt you and you didn't hurt them back. And there will be some people in heaven that are going to suffer loss, is the term the Bible uses, because they refuse to obey this one simple commandment to love their neighbor as theirself. Amen? So many things in the Bible about love, and we're just about 3 or 4 minutes away from being out of time. So I just would remind us, when we love, it causes us to put the other person before us. That's kind of what verse 9 is all about. It causes us to make them as important as we are in our heart and our mind. It determines what we do towards them, because we want to bless them. We want to do good towards them. We want to make them happy. We love our husband or our wife, and so we love to do things for them and give them gifts and make them happy. And we love our children, and so you know how it is at Christmas. You always give them more than they need, because you love to see them open gifts, because you want to make them happy. We ought to be that way towards God, shouldn't we? Are you living your life to try to make God happy? If you love him, you will. Love determines what we do towards folks, and then love keeps us from doing things. It keeps us from hurting other people. There's one more thing that love does, and I'll just mention this one and we'll finish up. Love causes us to forgive. Let's turn here, Proverbs chapter 10. Let's look at this verse and we'll finish. Proverbs 10. Proverbs 10 and verse 12. Hatred stirreth up strifes, but love covereth all sins. Aren't you glad God loves you? Let's apply this to our life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. Amen? that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. The blood of Christ cleanses us from all sins. While we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We love God because he first loved us. These are all Bible verses. So aren't you glad God loves you? Because we sinned against him today, this week, this year in our life. And he loves us. And Proverbs 10:12 says, love covereth all sins. God loves you. And so he forgives you. If you love somebody, you'll forgive them. That's one of the biggest problems I see in churches, I've seen in churches. I think we have a good church, by the way. Amen? Sweet folks, good spirit. We could work on faithfulness a little bit, but that's another story. But I've seen situations to where folks get offended or whatever, and they're going to make it known. And they're going to make somebody pay for it. That's not love. That's not what God does to us. Amen? Love covers sins. When you, oh, should I get into this? I guess so. Okay, it just popped into my mind. You got married and your wife couldn't cook very well. But you ate it anyway, didn't you? My wife's a great cook. I'm a better cook, but that's a different story. But you know what we do? Yeah, when the queen is happy, there is peace in the kingdom. Yeah. No, we did not marry someone because they're perfect. We married them because we loved them, amen? And it was God's will, I hope. Don't expect a perfect husband or wife, by the way. Well, we could spend a lot of time there, couldn't we? But we love folks, amen? And so you know what we do at the end of the day? We forgive, and we smile, and we face the troubles of life together. This is not a marriage counseling session, but it's turning into that. Love your children. Do something. Oh, can I think of something they broke? Yeah, over and over again. When my child broke something expensive, I didn't say, fine, you're out of here. You're on your own. Front door's right there. We'll throw some clothes out here in a minute. You're out of here. We can't take any more of you. No, you forgive. Amen? I'm done with this. God forgave us because he loves us. We ought to do the same thing. Love guides us. There are three guides here. We'll look at the third one next week. The first guide was obligation. We saw that one talking about things that are due. The second guide is love. That will guide you in your life. And the third guide is, I'm going to use the word urgency, and I'll tell you about that next week. And if you got those three things in place in your life, you'll do what's right. That's what he says here in Romans 13. Make sure you love folks. Amen? Let's all stand and pray.